Dealing with, write that down. Not dealing with, write that down. Dealing with disappointment. How many's been disappointed? You know, Father, we just lift up tonight. Thank you for what's going on around about the building, all the different classrooms. Father, every time I pray for the young people on Wednesday nights, I lift up and you reminded me of the adults that during the week, while they're working and at their coffee breaks and at their dinner times, they're preparing and getting ready for a Wednesday night service. And we thank you for the sacrifice and the time they give. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you're just going to put special blessings upon their classrooms tonight. Thank you for in here. Help us to just to receive the word and recognize that we can pull through when disappointment hits our life. And we thank you, Father, for you are the answer to everything. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. I think about the Wednesday night crews a lot that has to work and then cover classes, because when we first got involved in the church here, I was still working at the coal mines. So while I was working at the coal mines, like God is, he put me on jobs where I had time during the day that I could study and prepare. It was crazy. I mean, I got at the coal mines, we had big drills that drilled the rock before the shovel come through and dug it up. So those jobs, when everything was running, I was a shooter, they called it, for one period of my life. And so I only worked about 10 minutes out of the hour, but I had to be there. So during that 50 minutes, then I could prepare for services that was coming up Sunday and Wednesday. So God knows. So those people that work on Wednesday nights, somewhere they've got to get in and figure out what's going on as far as the class that's coming up. Dealing with disappointment. That's what I want to talk about. But you know, every one of us are appointed. Everybody in here is appointed. God has got something supernatural planned for your life. The definition for appointed, when you look in the dictionary, is fixed, set, established, ordained, set in a certain direction to accomplish what God has for him. Everybody here, I don't care who you are, I don't care what your age is, God has you appointed, ordained, to be involved in something that he wants to finish up, not only in your life, but those people around you. Now, I want to talk to you about being disappointed. Because see, what the enemy wants to do is take that appointment out of your life and break you down to the place where you don't trust him anymore. Because see, once we start receiving the lies, I need a little help. Neil, are you back in the lights? Where are you at, Neil? He's probably... Neil, for some reason, I'm getting a glare off of my eyes. And I don't want to interrupt. All you on the internet, please be patient. And it's like a cloud. Bring them down just a little bit, Neil. I want to be able to see the people. No, that didn't help. It must be these right here. Go ahead and work on them, then I'll let you know when I can see. I can see you clear, but I can't see. Jeremy, wave at me. Where are you at? See, I can't see Jeremy. Maybe it's just my eyes tonight. Nope, it's not my eyes. Now you got the people. I know, just turn the lights on in the house. That's what's wrong. There you go. I'm good. I'd rather see you. Wouldn't you rather see me? John 15:16. It says, you didn't choose me, I chose you. Amen. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. Amen. Now, you're appointed. Now, I want you to stay into that. I don't care who you are. Don't sit there and say, well, I don't have anything to do for God. You're always doing something for God if you're living. You are appointed. You say, well, I'm not doing anything at church. Yes, but do you not have friends? Do you not have family? Do you not go to Walmart? Yep. Pretty soon you get to go Taco Bell. That's right. And you're appointed. Yes. Wherever you go, whoever you run into, I don't care if you're If you're paying the cashier, you are appointed for that moment right there to impart something into their life, if it's just a smile. Come on. But see, the enemy wants you to be disappointed. He wants to remove that out of your life or out of what you're thinking. Because see, it's all what's between our head here. Life is sometimes, come on. Is there not disappointment that comes along? Every one of us face it, and sometimes every day we face it. Definition for disappointed: defeated of expectation, hope, desire, or purpose. Disappointed is defeated of expectation, hope, desire, or purpose. And then at the end of it, it had frustrated. I thought, well, that's plain enough right there. Because, you know, for a pastor, that's the hardest part, is fighting disappointment. Being with people for years and years and years, and then they just disappear. Or being with people years and years, and you watch them grow and mature, and then they do something or pull something that you're what? You're disappointed because you're seeing something that you know's really not them, but they got caught up in it maybe. And we're going to talk about those things. But Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. But when the desire is fulfilled, it is a tree of life. The appointed person that follows the Holy Spirit is one that makes fruit. One that gets disappointed is one that is deferred, and they lose hope. If you lose hope, you lose everything. What is hope? Hope is positive expectation. How many's got that memorized? Hope is a positive expectation of good. It's not I hope it's going to happen. You know it's going to happen. Well, if you get disappointed, then you are deferring that hope and you're giving up on what's really God's got going. I don't think people have an understanding of what really goes on in your life, who you touch every day. If you don't leave the house and you've got children, you are touching those children. If you don't leave the house and you're on this telephone, you're touching the person on the other end of the telephone. You're appointed to give that. But if you start getting into, which comes along all the time, if you allow disappointment to take over any small thing, I've found in my life, ever since I battled with what took place in my life, it's like those things, they grab me harder now than they used to. And I'm still trying to work through those things. But I can't let a hurt, I can't let a disappointment, that's what we're talking about, I can't let that dictate my life, or then my appointment is going to be different. When someone sees you and they say, are you all right? With an expression like they can recognize something's wrong, I must be in disappointment somewhere in my life. Or I've allowed it to run me, because disappointment just runs. Oh. I got so tickled. We had that rainstorm that hit here. I don't think it hit any place but Chester. And it rained hard. And from where I live, we pull out on the road by the new Taco Bell that's going up. And it was so funny because it was raining so hard that Connie and I had the wipers on full blast. And there was a man that was painting. And he was in the corner at the very top of the ladder holding his paint gun like this. Now, he was disappointed. And when he come back the next day, he was more disappointed because all his paint had ran down on everything else that had been taking place. But see, those are the kind of things that take place in our life. And it was nobody's doings. And, you know, well, that was an act of God. No, it rained. But, I just felt what he felt, because I've been caught in situations like that where he was just like against the building, like, oh, get over. It wasn't blowing. It was just raining. Anybody in Chester during that? I mean, it rained. And then I got out of town and it quit. But that man on that ladder wished that would have took place out there and not where he was at. He got disappointed. He did. But if we don't deal with disappointment regularly, if you don't understand what it can do to you, it brings discouragement, and then real easy, it brings depression. Not for everybody, because some people can just flip it off. Well, that's good. But some people, they get discouraged because they've been disappointed, they've been hurt, they've been let down, and then they get discouraged in that because sometimes in their own way of trying to control situations in life, then they get depressed, and then depression is the worst thing you can get, because depression, Keith was telling me, he was down this weekend, he's come out of Iraq, and he said, there's more have died from suicide from Iraq than died in Iraq. Every 26 minutes, an Iraqi soldier that went over to Iraq is committing suicide now. You know what that comes from? Disappointment. Come home, facing life, had to deal with what they had to deal with there, wasn't taken care of when they come home, disappointed in the military, disappointed in the government, disappointed in the people around, disappointed, which falls to discouragement, maybe can't get a job because they're not able anymore, and then depression sets in, and then they commit suicide. All starts from not dealing with disappointment. God knows where everybody is, and God has an appointment for everybody. I don't care if they went to war. He still is there to take care of those that are fighting for him, and he will take care of those, but they have to know these simple teachings that we're teaching. They've got to understand that we don't live disappointed. We have disappointment, but we turn that disappointment to an appointment, to what God wants for our lives. And we come to that place of recognizing. You know, Philippians 3:13 says, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. Paul was in a situation where, think about Paul's life, folks. He was killing and assigning Christians to death. Then he got touched by the Holy Spirit, and he had an appointment to reach the Jews and to reach the Gentiles. But if he would have carried the past, he would have never carried the appointment. He would have walked in disappointment of what, you know, well, why did the Lord allow me? You know, that during that time of his life, the Bible says that he was a Jew above the Jews. He was that intelligent in that realm of religion. And he actually thought in his heart that he was working for God. But then all of a sudden, he gets touched by the Holy Spirit, and he finds out that he was not working for God. Just think about the disappointment in his life if he would have allowed that to carry over. I can't even imagine what he went through. Can't even imagine what he went through. What are the avenues of disappointment? I've just got three topics that I'm going to cover because we could talk about it all night. If you want to write these down, disappointment with other people, disappointed with ourselves, and disappointed with God. Those three alone, we can take the time we've got tonight. Disappointed with others. Has anybody been let down by their wife or their husband? Disappointed in what went on. Not Carrie and Laura. No, there's never no disappointment there. But the rest of us that are normal, there's times when we've been disappointed. Have your kids disappointed you? Oh, I mean, it happens. Work. You should have got the promotion, but you was passed over. Disappointment. I could go on and on. The friends sitting next to you, disappointed. You know, the hardest ones are the ones that you've known for years and years and years. And then they do something and you go, you know, and man, I was disappointed. I just can't, you know, get over that. But you know, a lot of times, in this realm, we have to be real careful, because sometimes the disappointments that we receive are sometimes our own insecurities and sometimes our own pride, but not all the time, but they are. You've got to weigh that. But even in that, you don't stay there. That's right. You don't go to that place of judging. You don't go to that place. Well, if they would have done this, why'd they do that? They disappointed me. Well, you don't know the whole story. Something I'm trying to get into me so heavy is I don't know anything that's going on in your life. Because what I see doesn't mean anything. I don't live in your house. I don't live in your mind. I don't live in what you live through. I have no idea what took place in your life. So I've got to get to the place of I don't care who it is, what it is, where it is. If I'm disappointed, I've got to let that go because I don't know why they did what they did. I can't let that disappointment become judgment, is what I'm trying to say. I'm hurt for the disappointment, but I can't judge the person because if I judge the person, then the Bible tells me that what y'all have read the scripture, that whatever you judge, you will be doing the same thing. Sometimes I've met people through this 30 years of ministry that are mad at their parents for something their parents did, and it's always, every case, they're doing the exact same thing they hated. Because as you judge, now if you forgive what they did, it's different. But if you're still judging, because when you judge, you're always thinking about it, you got disappointed, but you let that disappointment destroy the appointment that God had for your life, and you're just like the person you didn't want to be, generation from generation, because they wouldn't forgive and go into their appointment. They walked in their disappointment, and they become what they didn't want to become, and then their kids become what they didn't want to become. Somewhere, it's got to stop. Yeah. Well, it can stop right here. Whatever you got disappointed in, let it go. Yeah. Just let it go. But, no. Amen. Let it go. You've been disappointed. You've been hurt. It's a part of life. It's just the way it is. Sometimes we look at somebody and get disappointed because they didn't meet our standard. You still have to do what? Let it go. I want to go back to how do you know how they were raised? Who was I talking to? I was talking to somebody. I don't know where it was, but didn't have the father. Oh, it was today. Didn't have the father. Had a mother that was abusive. But because so much love was needed, hanging around the abusive mother. But that goes on and goes on. But obviously he had forgiven because he just was hanging right there. You follow what I'm saying? See, disappointed, but he's took it right. He's took the right way in the route, and he's just there, not taking the abuse anymore because he's an adult, but yet at the place where that love is still seen and that love is still needed, but he's not letting the disappointment, because that becomes unforgiveness, to ruin where he's wanting to go with his life. God has got a plan, folks. God has got a plan. What about disappointing ourselves? That's probably a pretty big one. That's probably one of those that we could spend a lot of time on. Because we find that we fall into self-pity. We think that God doesn't forgive us. Everybody here has done something that you wished you hadn't have. I don't even like to think about those things. Because the enemy brings those up quite often. You know, Ron, if you wouldn't have said this. If you know, Ron, if you wouldn't have done this. And we're talking stuff years ago. You know, if you hadn't done this and if you hadn't done that. And I was terrible. I've asked the Lord to forgive me a zillion times on this one, but I know that he'd forgive me. But when the kids were playing basketball, I was tough on the referees. I was tough on the coaches. I was loud and obnoxious, just to be honest with you. Well, those are the kind of things the enemy will bring up and say, yeah, you was preaching at the time. Well, yeah, I know it was. But I also was immature in that area at the time, and God's forgiven me at that time, but he still tries to bring it up. You can go back to Paul. Think about Paul. Brad brought up Joseph. Think about Joseph. Why did he throw me in the well? What did I do wrong? And then he was reminded, well, you bragged about your silly coat that Dad gave you. You was prideful in the area of this dream that you had. All those things the enemy would use to pull him down. So now he's in a well. He not only don't know what's going to go on, but now he feels bad about himself. That's disappointment. I'm disappointed in what I said. How many has done something that has set the stage and messed up things in your life for a while? That's disappointment. But you got to learn to take that disappointment and say, I'm not going to allow that. I'm righteous. The Lord forgive me. I'm going to move on. You know, a lot of times we've been raised up so religiously that we think if we do something wrong in the past, that we're supposed to act like we did something wrong, and we're supposed to not be quite the person we were, and we keep carrying that and keep carrying that, and that gets to be a way of life. And instead of living that appointed life, you live that, well, if I wouldn't have done that, I'd be better. There's nowhere in the Bible that says that, folks. We've got to be at the place where, yes, I made a mistake. Lord, I thank you that you forgive me, but now I've got to go. I've got to get my shoulders back. I've got to get my head up. I've got to move on because I did make the mistake, but I am covered by the blood of Jesus, and I'm not going to allow disappointment to pull me down to the place where that disappointment destroys what you've called me to do. Hey, I've been a pastor over 30 years, and I'm not going to tell you some of the stuff that I accidentally did. What good would it do? Because it's bad enough for me to have to face it. Where's my battlefield? Just like yours. It's right here. The enemy will bring something up, and he'll remind you, not, what are you doing behind that pulpit, those thoughts you had? Well, I'm a person like everybody else, but I'm not going to let that. Well, aren't you disappointed in yourself for being that way? Yeah, but I'm not going to keep it. I'm going to let it go. I'm going to move on. I'm not going to let it beat me up. Romans 8:1 says, now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Nobody. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. No condemnation for those who are in Christ. So if I am beating myself up, I'm the dumb one. Like Connie said earlier, she said, you know, the Lord made a way, but we still have a choice. Well, I have a choice with this. I can carry disappointment, or I can just move on. Right. Well, if you'd married somebody else, you'd be better off. Where'd that come from? I'm not going to let that. Maybe I did, but God's going to make it right. I mean, you can turn this around. If you'll do it, you can turn these things around immediately and tell the enemy to get lost because it's already covered by the blood of Jesus. I'm appointed. You are appointed, not disappointed. You are appointed. Get that in. You are appointed. But I don't like my workplace. You're still appointed.
That's right.
At that workplace. Yeah, but I just hate my job. Self-pity. I hate that job. I just don't like where I'm at. If you leave not liking a job, guess what? Your next job will be worse. Because while you're on that job, you need to take that appointment and not be disappointed in where you're at, disappointed in what you're making. Just do the job, be happy, trust God. He'll take care of your needs. He'll move you when you come to that place of removing that disappointment of that job into the appointed job you got. It'll happen every time. I've always said, and I've learned from Bill Gothard, that if you got a job that's too easy for you, you need to have a harder job anyway. Because how are you going to stretch, how are you going to grow if you're doing something that's easy? I never get an amen on that one. Never, 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 never. What about Peter? Denied Christ. Man, he had to get... I mean, that had to have been tough. Here, all the while, he's hoping he gets out of this situation. But in the midst of what he's going through, he literally gets over here and he hides behind the bush and denies Christ while he's going through what he was going through.
That's
And then what's interesting, and I've got the scripture wrote down, but what's interesting is that the Lord basically gives him a message, and he says to him, tell the disciples and Peter that I'm coming. Made a purpose to show Peter, listen, I know you denied me, but you're forgiven. Don't allow this disappointment in your life, in yourself, to destroy where you're headed, because I got a lot of plans for your life. I've got a lot of lives I've got to touch, so get on your appointment. Peter, knock it off. Everybody calls him Doubting Thomas. Not him, but doubting. Think about him. He denied, I've got to see it. But it's interesting, he says that, but everybody else around was saying the same thing, they just didn't verbalize it. But think how he felt. Thomas, look. Yeah, I know. I mean, how he could carry that. You can't let disappointment rule your life. You have to be appointed. Get that in you. Disappointed in life and God. What about that one? How many has been disappointed in life? How many has been disappointed in God sometimes? If you ain't saying amen to that one. I don't care, folks. Everybody goes through hard times. And things don't go in life like you want to. You know, he gets blamed so much for that kind of stuff. And folks, he is not the problem. The problem is the cursed world that we're in. And, you know, it's just like I said earlier about an act of God as far as weather. I mean, even the insurance company blames God. It wasn't an act of God. It rained. It wasn't an act of God. It was a tornado. It wasn't an act of God. It was a hurricane. It wasn't an act of God. He seen it. He knew it. He designed the principles. And when you get hot and cold together, it don't mix. It's going to do something. That's the way it is. But we get mad at God. And we get mad at God because we get disappointed in God because he didn't save my loved one. We get mad at God. We get disappointed in God. Because why didn't he move on this person to come to church? We get mad at God because the church service didn't go like it was supposed to. We get mad at God because we're still working on our sound system and some people are getting mad about it. And give us a chance. I mean, come on. We get mad at God because the walls are gone. We get mad at God because we left the cross up. We do. It's not going the way we want it to. Now, this is a big one. Now, listen, why do we get mad at God for our health? I mean, Connie has had health problems for years. You know, we've had people say to her, oh, you just don't have enough faith. We've had people say to us, you guys must be living wrong. Oh, come on. And then at the same time, we battle with that disappointment with ourselves because maybe we did do something wrong. And then you weigh that. Then what is wrong? God, I'm tired of this. I want to be healthy. But bottom line, God knows where we are and God knows why we are what we are. And it don't matter. Otherwise, it'll drive you crazy. We know. But God, if you really loved me, what are you talking about? There's no real, he does love you. That's like some of the songs that I listen to, you know, God is a perfect God. We can't even say that because who are we to judge what's perfect is? I mean, God is God. And if he wants you to be in a wheelchair, if the situation arises that you're in a wheelchair and you're in a wheelchair all your life, God didn't do it. He said, well, why didn't God fix it? Well, if he fixed every problem in the universe, we would all be puppets. Come on, you're all looking at me like, really? Well, I'm mad because my dad's in the nursing home. My mom's in the nursing home. My been in a hospital. You know, a hurricane shook my house down. A tornado knocked my house over. It's a big one, folks. God didn't do it. God's the one that takes care of us, and God's the one that knows where you are mentally, physically. He knows where you are. I was telling Betty earlier, I have started a bucket list. You know, a bucket list, things you want to get done. But I am not touching them here. I'm not going to waste my time trying to climb Mount Everest now. I'm going to do it when I'm in heaven. I got a heaven bucket list. I'm going to skydive in heaven. I'm going to rock climb in heaven. I'm not going to try it now. nah. I physically can't do it now, so I'm just going to wait. It helps me. I got things I wanted to do. You know, the older we get, the less we can do. Come on, let's get real, folks. It's called grieving. We're all getting older. Now, you guys back there, you still think you can do everything. You will find out. I went today to put a license plate sticker on the trailer, and I couldn't bend over far enough because my knees won't. And I ended up, and I was a little bit embarrassed because the people down in the swimming pool down here was all looking up, and I had to get down, lay on my side to put this stupid sticker on. Well, part of my bucket list is I'm going to walk around on my knees. Hoorah. But I'm not going to get mad at God because my knees don't work like I used to. I could put a microphone right down here by my knees, and you could hear it. You probably can hear it. Listen. Yeah. Both of them. I can dance. Dun, 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 dun. I walked in the office today, and Tina said, I could hear your knees coming down the hall. I went, oh, thank you. Come on. We could go, Lord, I've been serving you for 30 plus years. You at least could have put good knees in me. That's how stupid we sound. Folks, don't get disappointed in God. He loves you. We can't even express how much He loves us. We've got to get to the place where we recognize no matter what we're going through, what we're doing, it's only a little while, and He's using you to touch people around you during this little window that we're here. And He knows you're big enough and strong enough to go through what you're going through so you can touch other people. I believe that with all my heart. Otherwise, if I couldn't get through it, He wouldn't allow me to even be there at all. You know, Romans 5, let me just flip over there. I got a few minutes. Romans 5 is such a powerful scripture when you really think about what it's saying. Romans 5, 3 through 5. It says, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. I would say that disappointment would be a tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character. And character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in the hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given it to us. Without that love and without that presence of God, how could I walk through anything? How could I have a positive expectation of good if I walk in disappointment? If I allow the things that take place in my life, the disappointments that are there. I'm not saying we don't get disappointed. Everybody here gets disappointed in what's taking place. Even Joyce is older than me. She gets disappointed. But we can't allow, she was grinning at me is the reason I said that. We can't allow that disappointment to bring us to the place that we get mad at God in the midst of all that's going on. It just don't happen. You know, everybody knows this. So Romans 8:28. I think Connie's favorite scripture that I hear all the time. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. Think about it. You are a son and a daughter. You have been appointed. You know, we see certain people around here doing certain things. I mean, like Betty. We know when you think of the Easter program around here, you think of Betty because she heads it up. That's part of her appointment. And then you have some people that you don't see around here, and you tend to think, well, they don't have much going. Really? They're appointed just like Betty's appointed or I'm appointed. Every job is just as important as the other job. Even if you're not doing anything right here, you have something you're doing out there, plus the time you're praying for what's going on here. Everybody here. But if you go to work and you don't like work because you're disappointed in your boss, you don't like your job, so you're disappointed in your job. You don't like what you did, so you're disappointed in your life. You don't like God because it rained on the way over. I mean, the guy on the ladder, if he didn't have an understanding, he could be mad at God because he just got done painting, now painting it over, and it's all your fault. Sounds silly, but how true it is anymore. We've got to come to the place of recognizing all things work together for the good of God. And when you grab that, it makes a difference. Let's go over it real quick and then we're going to close. I got wrote down, remember that we see in part. That's probably a good one to underline about 17 or 18 times. I know a little bit about you, but that's about all. Me and Neil probably spend as much time together as we do our wives, working together and being in the same building, but I still know a little bit about Neil. I know he lived in a little bitty town right across the river, but I don't know anything about his lifestyle, where he lived, who he lived, how he lived, what lived. We don't know these things. So how can we let a hurt, a heartache, something said, how can we allow anything to carry on the disappointment? We can see that we can get disappointed. We do. But we just go, bummer. That's enough. Don't take it any farther. Because when you start analyzing the disappointment, then you'll turn that around. The enemy will turn that around and he'll blame it on you for what took place every time. And then when it's all said and done, then you get mad at God because they disappointed you. Well, I thought they were more mature than that. No, we none are. Not really. You want to put a scale and he's perfect? Where do we fit? Kind of like our scripture verse, we've all sinned and fallen short. I like that scripture, but I don't like that scripture because it needs to carry on. We have all fallen short, but I'm no longer that sinner. I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, and I'm not going to allow that to give me disappointment. I'm going to stay appointed. Keep your eyes on the appointment, not the disappointment. These are answers to the questions we've been talking about. Keep your eyes on the appointment. Keep your eyes on what God's got you going. You say, well, I don't know what I'm doing. Then just keep doing what you're doing, as long as it's something good. Just keep moving towards, you know, don't get up with a disappointed attitude. Just get up and say, okay, Lord, what do you got today? Where are we going today? I'm not much thinking about what I did yesterday. What are we going to do today? Who are we going to run into today, Lord? And Lord, when I do run into somebody, give me something to say to them. Give me something to encourage them. Lord, help me just be a blessing at work. Help me to work my full 8 hours, Lord. And those people that's not doing anything around me, let me be the worker. Let me have favor with those people that I come in contact with. Lord, thank you. Maybe you women are going shopping. Lord, thank you for the sales. I love it when Connie prays that way. Why not? Maybe your appointment for that day is to go get a good bargain where you can glorify God. Yeah, kind of saving me money all the time. Yeah. Good saver. Look at the appointment, not the disappointment. Wrap yourself around the truth of the word, folks. Probably the biggest key to fixing that disappointment. Now, wait a minute. Especially when it comes back to yourself and you're disappointed with you. No, I am righteous. I have been made righteous by the blood of Jesus. I do have favor with people. I am a blessing to people. I will have the right things to say to them. I do have an understanding. I do have wisdom. Lord, thank you for that wisdom. That'll turn everything around. It gives you a whole different insight on what God's going to do. Remember, your attitude determines your altitude. Oh, boy, that's a big one. You come in grumpy, that's the grumpy level you're going to be for the day. You come in disappointed, that's how you're going to feel, just disappointed. You come in with an attitude of, yeah, I got hurt, but I'm going to let it go. I recently got hammered by a situation, and I know one of these days I'm going to run into that person. I've already decided what I'm going to say and how I'm going to handle it. It's going to be on the appointed side, not the disappointed side. I mean, I already know that I will because we live in the same city. And you know how that'll happen. And when I do, hey, how you doing? You good? I'm good. Everything good? Rather than, you turkey. How you disappointed me. You ain't worth, God will get you back. That's just about how we would say it. God will get you back. We're Christians, you know. God will get you back. Come on. Well, that's who needs Christ, folks. So you take the appointment to those people. Drop your pride. Drop all the judgment. And just purpose. And if you don't plan it ahead, you won't do it. It's kind of like, if you've mulled around something, somebody's hurt you, and you've mulled around what you're going to say, and you're going to be nasty, guess what you're going to say, whether you want to or not. So you're better off to get to the appointment and not get to the disappointment, and let it turn lives around every time. Last one, keep yourself walking in love. Just purpose to love. See, really, we could go back to the new commandment that he gives us. I just give you one commandment, he says. If you love, you will do everything else that's in the law. Right. You don't have to live by the law anymore. You just love, and you will automatically live the law every time. So if someone disappoints you, just let it go. Forgive, forget. Don't judge. Don't try to analyze it. Somebody the other day said they were really touched, but they're going to think about it. I'm thinking, don't get your brain in this. Let the Spirit have it. Right. You get your brain in it, the brain's going to run you right out of it every time. But come to that place of not allowing disappointment to drag you down. God has got such big things for everybody in here. I don't care what your walk is, who you're around. You say, but it's like somebody just said, yeah, but you don't know the people I'm around. Folks, that's the people we're supposed to reach. Yeah, but I don't like my neighbor. That's the people you're supposed to reach. Yeah, but you wouldn't believe what they do. That's the people you're supposed to reach. But I don't like it. That's the people you're supposed to reach. You're already saved. You're already going to heaven. Wouldn't it be nice to take some people with you? You know, Ken Gobbs, I haven't talked to him for a couple of weeks, but he's so gifted in reaching people and getting them saved. Why is he doing that? I mean, why? Because that's his appointment. How many hundred does he talk to that he could let be a disappointment, but he doesn't do it? I've been around him at the airports. And he's not obnoxious. He just knows he's just got a gift to do it. I told Connie one time, I'd like to just travel for a week or two with him just to pick up that spirit that he's got. Because he loves, what it amounts to, he loves everybody he's with. I don't care what they are, who they are. He just loves them. Yeah. And he just has a way to make them laugh. And then Christ comes in the picture and he gets them saved. We were at Denny's one time and he had got a cup of coffee and he said, how strong is your coffee? And she said, well, it should be all right. He took a knife and he reached under his table that she didn't see and he took his other spoon and when he would hit the liquid, he would go. Well, in the midst of that joke, he brought her to Christ. Why? Because he didn't judge her. And she could have easily been judged, this particular one. But see, it's all about not allowing the disappointments of the setbacks that he has and the setbacks that we have to mess us up. Because especially after something we just had here, there's always that high. That's exactly when the enemy comes in and tries to bring them down, disappointments. One person can come by and say, I came and I hated it. I didn't like the music and I didn't like that guy that spoke. Where 99 would have been excited, that one, if you let that one.
That's right.
See, I can have a sermon where I felt like it really went good, and I can have one person come up and criticize me, and if I'm not real careful, I'm destroyed. I've had to walk through that more than once. But you don't take those disappointments. You just You go out the door and you learn to say, Lord, I did the best I could do, and I'm giving it to you. Thank you for allowing me to be able to speak the word. I know that your word never returns void. All I said may have been nothing, but I know that word is going to do its work. Don't allow disappointment. Let's stand up. If you're disappointed on anything tonight, let's end it tonight. June 7th, 2017, let's drop the disappointment. Everybody's got a different case scenario. It may go back 50 years. It may go back 2 days. It may go back an hour ago. You may have somebody standing beside you that just disappointed you. Let it go. Father, right now, we are standing together. Those that was able to come to us by internet, Father, we thank you that anything they have faced in the area of disappointment, whether it be with family, friends, co-workers, their self, or even turning to God and being disappointed, we release that spirit. We're not going to allow that spirit to live with us anymore. We're going to take that disappointment and we're going to let it go, and we're going to turn and purpose, Lord, to go toward the appointment of what you've got established in our life. We know you're going to finish the work that you started, and we're going to let you do that, Father. We just thank you. We're just delivered from that disappointment from harming us anymore. In Jesus' name, and everybody that agrees, say amen. 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 Father, we thank you. Thank you for everything that's going on around about this building. Thank you for safety around about us as we go home, and help us to practice removing that disappointment when it raises its head. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name.
That's right.
Amen. Call you blessed. You are dismissed.